Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know I'm both an economist and a lawyer. And a lawyer that has spent over the last decade of my life in public service. I am a lawyer that served a twice Reagan-appointed federal appeals court judge, whom not once ever asked me who I voted for, what my politics was, who not once while I worked for him ever asked me to do anything that was violation of my basic values or the Constitution. And I've been sharing with all of you this afternoon the news of the day, which as a lawyer, as a public servant, a former public servant, is so fundamentally deeply disturbing that it has moved me to tears on air. So I appreciate your patience with me this afternoon. 855-752-4842. I think we've got our phone lines sorted out a bit. 855-75-CIVIC. If you try to get through and you can't, please do use the text line and I will try to get to your text messages. If you're just joining us, let me bring you up to speed. Today has been a day of simply shocking news from the Trump administration. I'll begin with the fact that Newark, New Jersey Mayor Roz Baraka was arrested by federal law enforcement while he was protesting, which last I checked is him using his First Amendment right to free speech, while he was protesting outside of an ICE detention facility in Newark. The U.S. Attorney for the District of Newark is none other than Alina Haba, a woman who didn't know that you have to stand when a judge walks into a courtroom. But, you know, she was Donald Trump's criminal defense attorney and looks good on TV, so I'm sure she'll make a fine U.S. attorney and stand by her oath to follow the Constitution. Perhaps not. Today, also, Donald Trump welcoming and inviting refugees, so-called refugees, who are Afrikaners from South Africa. He, in the hours after he was sworn in, stopped all refugee resettlement, even those who went through years-long vetting processes. Those people remain in sometimes barely sustainable circumstances. But the white folks from South Africa, the Afrikaners, who, by the way, perpetuated the apartheid system. Yet those folks, they can come here as refugees. In addition, today, two federal courts lambasting the Trump administration, a judge in Maryland flat out calling the Donald Trump Department of Justice a bad faith actor, and a federal judge in a separate matter ordering the immediate release of a Tufts University PhD student whose video recorded detention by masked federal agents drew nationwide outrage. District Judge William Sessions III ruling that she has been unlawfully detained, that she was unlawfully detained because she exercised her right to free speech, saying this, quote, her continued detention cannot stand. And that the Trump's administration targeting of the student could chill the speech of millions and millions. And if all this was not enough, in what I think is the most shocking news of the afternoon, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Domestic Policy Advisor Stephen Miller said this afternoon to reporters.
Well, the Constitution is clear, and that, of course, is the supreme law of the land, that the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus can be suspended in a time of invasion. So I would say that's an option we're actively looking at. Look, a lot of it depends on whether the courts do the right thing or not. At the end of the day, Congress passed a body of law known as the Immigration Nationality Act, which stripped Article III courts, that's the judicial branch of jurisdiction over immigration cases. So Congress actually passed, it's called jurisdiction stripping legislation. It passed a number of laws that say that the Article III courts aren't even allowed to be involved in immigration cases. Many of you probably don't know this. I'll give you a good example. Are you familiar with the term temporary protected status, or TPS, right? So by statute, the courts are stripped of jurisdiction from overruling a presidential determination or a secretarial determination on TPS when the Secretary of Homeland Security makes that determination. So when Secretary Noem terminated TPS for the illegals that Biden flew into the country, when courts stepped in, they were violating explicit language that Congress had enacted, saying they have no jurisdiction. So it's not just the courts aren't just at war with the executive branch, the courts are at war, these radical rogue judges, with the legislative branch as well, too. So all of that will inform the choices the president ultimately makes, yeah.
So first of all, some of these radical rogue judges, one of them includes, Justice Brett Kavanaugh's law school roommate. Some of these radical rogue judges are some of the most conservative judges our country has ever seen. True blue Republicans. But unlike the lackeys, the billionaire cabinet that Donald Trump has appointed, these Article III judges take their constitutional oath seriously. Now, let me address briefly the idea of jurisdiction stripping legislation. That, of course, exists. So, yes, the federal courts, they do not oversee individual case adjudications of most immigration matters. But Congress, because it placed immigration case proceedings within the executive branch, not the Article III judicial branch, Congress can't wave a magic wand and say, these people don't have due process rights, because that's written in the Constitution. And so where either Congress or the president, through jurisdiction stripping legislation that the president then misconstrues to violate the most fundamental rights a human being has in a democracy. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Miller's just spouting out pretty fancy words, dazzling you. But it's all garbage, utter and complete garbage. Our freedoms, at times in our nation's history, we must fight for them. I believe we are in such a moment. How you fight, where you fight, that's an individual choice. But your voice in these moments matters most of all. It is the vox populi from which all government actors derive their power. If we say no to them, they cannot do this. As it was the anniversary of VE Day yesterday, I wanted to read something that the author of The Little Prince wrote. I was reminded of it by Steve Schmidt, his Substack called The Warning. Now, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, you may not know, but he flew numerous reconnaissance flights in World War II. His plane ultimately disappeared. They're not sure exactly what happened to him, but he wrote a letter to Americans about their service in World War II. And it seems appropriate to me today to share it again with all of you. So here it is. Friends in America, I would like to do you complete justice. Perhaps someday more or less serious disputes will arise between us. Every nation is selfish. Every nation considers its selfishness sacred. Perhaps your feeling of power may someday lead you to seize advantages for yourselves that we consider unjust to us. Perhaps sometime in the future, more or less violent disputes may occur between us. If it is true that wars are won by believers, it is also true that peace treaties are sometimes signed by businessmen. If therefore at some future date I were to inwardly reproach those American businessmen, I could never forget the high-minded war aims of your country in this fight. I shall always bear witness in the same way to your fundamental qualities as Americans. American mothers did not give their sons for the pursuit of material aims, nor did these boys accept the idea of risking their lives for such material aims. I know, and I will later tell my countrymen, that it was a spiritual crusade that led you into the war. I have two specific proofs, among others. Here is the first. During this crossing in convoy, mingling as I did with your soldiers, I was inevitably a witness to the war propaganda they were fed. Any propaganda, by definition, is amoral, and in order to achieve its aim, it makes use of any sentiment, whether noble, vulgar, or base. If the American soldiers had been sent to war merely in order to protect American interests, their propaganda would have insisted heavily on your oil wells, your rubber plantations, your threatened commercial markets. But such subjects were hardly mentioned. If war propaganda stressed other things, it was because your soldiers wanted to hear about other things. And what were they told to justify the sacrifice of their lives in their own eyes? They were told of the hostages hanged in Poland and the hostages shot in France. They were told of a new form of slavery that threatened to stifle part of humanity. Propaganda spoke to them not about themselves, but about others. They were made to feel solidarity with all humanity. The 50,000 soldiers of this convoy were going to war, not for the citizens of the United States, but for man. For human respect, for man's freedom and greatness, the nobility of your countrymen dictated the same nobility where propaganda was concerned. If someday your peace treaty technicians should, for material and political reasons, injure something of France, they would be betraying your true faith. For how could I forget this great cause for which the American people fought? We deserve better than this. We deserve better than to be motivated by our most base instincts. And how dare a government trade on our fears, our anxieties, our most rotten prejudices, to enrich the already wealthy, to empower the already powerful, to spit in the face of human dignity. We deserve better than this. And it is increasingly clear that to get better than this, we, the people, must demand it. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I will give you hope when we return. Please stay with us.